네.
Good job, Grace. I tell you what, it's really not easy to stand up here and do things. I think it's easier to teach than run a meeting, personally. And that's not always that easy to do. Have a seat, have a seat. Thank you, guys. God, like, why are they standing up? Well, because you didn't tell them to sit down. Okay. But a great job, Grace. You know, we're experimenting with this praise and worship stuff and praising God with music and allowing music to, you know, God to utilize music to get our hearts ready to receive the word. And so, you know, we got a long ways to go, but we're coming. We're getting there. We're doing it. And it's really a lot of fun when you can just let go and realize that that kind of stuff really does praise God and God really gets blessed by, you know, King David danced before God many times, and that's all in the Word, so it's a fun thing to do, but good job, Grace. Good job. You know, it's interesting because what I want to teach on today, Grace really kind of touched when she took the abundant sharing, when we received our abundant sharing, and it's prosperity. And most Christian believers believe in tithing or giving as a principle that needs to be operated, that God teaches us from His Word. So who doesn't want to prosper? Who doesn't want to have the abundant life that Jesus Christ came for us to have? I believe that there's a pattern in God's Word that clearly shows that He always wanted His people to prosper from the very beginning. The account of Adam and Eve, how did God set them up? I mean, they had it all, didn't they? They had a beautiful garden to live in. They had their needs met. They had dominion over everything in the garden. God gave them all of this stuff. And they had a personal, spiritual connection with the Father, most importantly. Is that not true? How can life be more abundant than that? But God asked one thing. He required something from them. And that is the way it is in our life, in every aspect of our lives. We are in partnership with God. Now, God does so much more for me than I ever seem to do for Him. But that's God. His mercy and grace is abundant in our lives. But we still have responsibilities in order to walk with Him and bring the promises that He gives us to pass in our lives. And it has nothing to do with our righteousness, our justification before God. It's principles that we live spiritually and physically in this world that God has set down that work. They work. And if we simply understand them and follow through on our end of it, God opens the windows of blessings. Spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. There is nothing He will not do for us. Nothing He will withhold from us. No good thing. That's what His Word says. And Adam and Eve took their eyes off of all they had and looked at what they didn't have. One little thing. And I really think that sometimes that's where the Christian believer gets held up here. I don't think it's so much that we don't believe we need to give or that we need to tithe, but I think something happens between the sowing of our seed and the harvest. You know, look at Genesis chapter 12, I believe it is. This is about Abraham. Now, God asked Abraham to do a couple of things. Now, I know we're in the Old Testament, and we're most of us in this room are aware that the Old Testament is there directly written to us. No, but for our learning. There's many things in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ we learn to help us understand what He did in the Gospels, which gives us what we have in our administration, correct? There's other principles to learn from the Old Testament, too. And God is talking to Abraham, and this is just part of the pattern that I just want you to take a look at. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Think that was easy? I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave this land. And I'm going to show you a land I want you to go to. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. Man, that's a huge promise, isn't it? So what did Abram do? Nope, not going. No. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75. Look at all the things God promised him in those three little verses. And as Abram's walk went with God, as time passed, as you know, if you're familiar with this account, and if you're not, read, start here and just read. God promised Abram many things. He even changed his name. 14 years after he asked him to leave, which he did do, he told him he's going to have a son with Sarah, his wife who was barren. It was a promise from God. Now, along the way, things started changing for Abram, and he started to prosper, and he started to have great wealth, and he started to have respect among the country. If you read this account, you'll see that. God did everything he told Abraham he would do, but it didn't happen overnight. There was a period between the promise and the harvest of that promise, right? I mean, 14 years, he's going to have Isaac, but did he have Isaac 9 months later? Nope. It was a few years. Anybody know how many? 25 years before he had Isaac, after the promise. Now, what do you think Abraham did? He stood on that promise. Now, did he kind of try to figure out his own way? A little bit, huh? He went into Hagar, the handmaiden, because he thought that. And that's not what God told him, huh? God told him it was going to be Sarah. So he tried. His five senses kind of got in the way. Maybe he got a little impatient. Ever been impatient when you want something from the Father? So he kind of used his own five senses, and God goes, stop, not that one, nope. This is what I said. So obviously, because he did have Isaac, he continued to stand on that promise. It's the same way with Moses and the children of Israel. The children of Israel wanted freedom from Egypt. So God set them free, didn't he? Magnificently. It says when they left Egypt, they had the wealth of Egypt. They had healthy bodies, not a feeble knee among them, correct? And then what happened? They got to the Red Sea. Yikes. All of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh and the chariots. Did God say, oh, well? No. God promised he was going to lead them to a land of milk and honey, of plenty. So he parted the seas. They walked through. Pharaoh came through. Whoosh, waters covered them. Pharaoh was gone. If you look in Exodus chapter 15, it says they sang songs, they danced before the Lord, the women got out the thimbles, and everybody was happy, and they praised God, and they made up this wonderful song of all he did. Verse 22, 3 days later, the water wasn't exactly where they thought it was going to be, and they got freaked out. And you know what they wanted to do? Go back. Think that's five senses thinking? Sure. But God worked with them, didn't he? Now, unfortunately, all of those people that had been promised to go into the promised land didn't really get to go, most of them, because throughout the next 40 years, they walked around in a five-mile circle, to be honest with you, because they were so stubborn and bullheaded. Now, I can be stubborn and bullheaded. Right, Barney? He knows. But yeah, everybody's like, no, I'm not speaking on that one. He pleads the fifth. But you know what? Over the years, as I have really learned and developed a deeper relationship with God, I've learned that that is non-profitable behavior. To run our lives based upon our emotions rather than, which is what the children of Israel were doing, they got fearful. But God still delivered them, and those that were obedient, some of them did go into the promised land 40 years later. So God always keeps his promise. But there was a time between the promise. And things happened, and the children of Israel got freaked out. I want you to go to John 10:10. We're going to see some very familiar verses today, but I think we're going to see a point here today that maybe will help some of us and with our patience while we're waiting for the harvest to come in. John 10:10. Rachel, you want to read that, please? Is there any doubt in anybody's mind that God wants you to prosper? Because if there is, we're looking at some scriptures right now that should put that at ease in your heart. More abundant. You know what that means? That Greek word can mean super abundant in quantity and quality. See, God doesn't want us just to have an abundance. He wants the abundance to be quality. That's God's desire for us, okay? To have the more than abundant life was something Jesus Christ paid his life for. So it's something that we need to really understand is ours to have. And if we don't have it, then we need to change something because the promise is laid out very clearly. 3 John. And there are others. These are just a few we're looking at. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And to prosper means to live above the need. And I think so many times Christian believers live in the valley of need. I have my needs met. Well, great. And that is a promise from God's word. But there's a bigger promise. And Jesus Christ came so that we could have it. And that's superabundant. So that we have to give. So that we have to bless. So that God can see our heart of giving. Because his heart of giving was so great right from the beginning. He set the standard. And I know there's no way we can outgive God. And God wants us to be healthy. That's part of being prosperous. I mean, there is so much in here about this subject. And yet, I know in my own life, there are times when I get beat. You know, you give, the abundant sharing horn of plenty comes around. And there's other ways to give besides financially. But the point I want us to see today is that there is something for us to do between the time we sow. I'm not talking about how much you sow, except the word does, and we're going to look at that. But you sow it, and then the harvest will happen. You will reap it. In fact, let's just go to 2 Corinthians and see that that's exactly what God says. He tells us he wants us to have an abundant life, a more than abundant life. He wants us to prosper and be in health. And you know, whether you... I know there's different teachings out there. The tithe is part of the Old Testament. The tithe isn't part of the Old Testament. Look, that's really not what the main point of this teaching is today. But if you're still confused about that, then go to the Word because it is very clear. It wasn't just part of the law. Abraham tithed to God after a major battle because he wanted that King Sodom to understand that God meets his needs. And he wouldn't take any of the spoils himself. And that was way before the tithe, okay? Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. This is God. This is Paul speaking for God. But this I say, he which soweth how sparingly shall what? Reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, is that really hard to understand? No. If you've planted anything, if you've planted any kind of seed, All right? You know that if you plant one seed, you're going to get a small harvest. If you plant 10 seeds, you're going to get a bigger harvest. That is what God's word says. This is the analogy he uses. And this analogy works spiritually and physically and mentally and financially for anybody who operates it. Okay? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. So how come it is, and maybe you've never been there, but I have sown faithfully sometimes. And things keep happening. My car breaks down. The kids, their clothes don't fit anymore. The dishwasher breaks down. I get a cold. What is going on, God? Why isn't this working, God? I'm sowing. I'm sowing faithfully. Your word says to do it. I'm tithing. I'm tithing faithfully. Yet every time I turn around, something's happening, Father. What's going on? What am I not getting? Well, I really believe what we're not getting is that this time between the sowing and the harvest is a very important time to keep our hearts, the depths of our minds, and our words lined up with the word, no matter what the circumstances look like. It is not about the economy. It is not about the government. It is not about you or me making a financial mistake and maybe getting ourselves buried in debt that we shouldn't be in, but we are in. That's not what it's about. It's about trusting and believing God. And when those thoughts come into your head, oh, the housing market, it's terrible. Oh my gosh, I can't afford to give. I can't, you know, we bought those things and we shouldn't have, and I've got $90 here to pay. I got $93 worth of bills to pay. I can't give God $9. I can't even give God $5. You know what those thoughts are? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. They're weeds. They're weeds in your seed. You have sown the seed. You've operated the principle. But because pressure's on, remember in Mark where it talks about the seeds that are sown in the heart and what type of ground they're laid on? Remember that? The pressures of this world come and rip the word out of people. Well, the pressures of this world are going to come and try to rip you out of your principle of operating God's word. And when the weed comes in and you don't pluck it out right away, you know what happens? It starts choking your believing. It starts choking your believing. God promises abundance if we sow abundantly. He promises that. Now, does it say immediately? No, because you know what? God knows it takes time. I mean, he's the one who said in Isaiah, this was right after, I think it was Isaiah, yeah. It's after the flood in, no, it wasn't after, it wasn't Isaiah, I'm sorry. And in Isaiah, he talks about that he will never destroy the earth again, but that there will be a time of harvest always, and that his word, when it is cast out, never returns void unto him. And you know what? That is still the truth today. And when our words are spoken over the things that we do with God, like what we're talking about right now is giving, and those words are negative words and words filled of doubt, what does it build in your thinking? Worry, right? Anxiety, right? Come on. I mean, you guys have been there, haven't you? I mean, haven't you done this? Am I the only one? Oh, good. Whew, makes me feel better. But you know what? God's promise is real. So what we have to do between when we sow and when we reap is to pull those weeds of doubt and anxiety and fear out of our minds and trust God. Look at Psalm 37. It's like we've got to water that seed with the word. Because God's word is the word of life, isn't it? And our words, God tells us, and his word are either the words of death or the words of what? And you know what? That is in every category of our lives. Our word needs to be lined up with the word of God, because the word of God is the one thing that we know we can count on. And what is it that the adversary wants to steal first from you? The word. And where does he steal it from? Your mind, your heart, the innermost part of you where you make decisions. You know, the principles are very simple, but the battle is not. But we have already been promised by God Almighty that we have won it. And it's kind of like, I don't know, now I know some of you don't know these kind of songs. This is a little country western song. You know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. We don't fold. God's people don't fold. Because if you fold, you lose. We don't fold. We stand on the promises of God. We trust God to come through with what he says he's going to come through with. Psalms 37. Sometimes it looks like the unbelievers in the world have more than you do, doesn't it? I've thought of that. I thought, yeah. You know, how come, you know, he's got all this money. He doesn't even believe in God. Well, you know what? God's got an answer for that too. Psalm 37. This is what God says for us to do or not do. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in what?
The Lord.
And he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. This is God talking to his people. Now, does this apply to us? Yes, that principle works for us too. If we trust in God, is he going to give us the desires of our hearts? If we sit there and worry about why someone else who is an unbeliever or a God rejecter has all this money and I don't, God, this isn't working, is that trusting God? No, that's actually planting weeds in your own seeding. We don't want to get tricked into doing that. I really think that this is an area where we can get tripped up. Believers want to, they want to give to God. We want to trust God. We want God to see in action our response to his word. And we many, many times begin to do that. And then pressures, anxiety, the things of this world start piling up. And next thing you know, we got weeds all over our mind. You know, a walk with God, growing with God is a process. Not everything is immediate. But I'm going to tell you something. I truly believe that God gives us so much more in our lives than we even can recognize. So much more grace, so much more mercy, so much more joy. You know, a lot of people in this world make a lot of money, but where's their peace? Where's their joy? There's nothing wrong with making an abundance of money. God wants us to prosper, but he wants us to do it according to his system, not the system of the world. You know, the system of the world sometimes is dog eat dog. I don't care if I have to make you look bad so I look good. You're going to look bad. I don't care if I have to lie, steal, cheat. But where's the peace in that? Where's the joy in that? You know, one of the believers was sharing with me that this is a man that I know, and I know him very personal. And he tithes faithfully. He gives in other arenas too, faithfully. And the other day, he was coming to a traffic signal. And the light was green. And God told him to stop. So he did. And thank God he did, because somebody just ran the red light going very fast. And if he had not stopped, he would have been in a crash. That's God working in his life, because he trusts God and his heart is open to the direction of God. So when we hear God's voice, if the weeds aren't there, it can literally save your life. And I am convinced in my own life that God does that over and over for me. Over and over. So the things I can see, the things I can know, were from the Word, that God's Word doesn't return void, that God wants us to prosper and be in health, that He wants us to live abundantly. Those are all real. Those things are what we need to understand is given to us from God. But we are in a partnership with God, and we have responsibilities. And those responsibilities is to do it according to God's system. It's to do it the way God asks us to do it. And I mean, honestly, does He ask so much of us? You know, sometimes I think we just have to retrain our minds in these areas. And I know for myself that, you know, I get blessed. Barney and I get blessed. We decide to do, you know, bless somebody. We give. And then 2 days later, the brakes went out in the car. And I'm like, whoa, man. The brakes went out in the car. Okay, it's all right. Sorry, sorry. Okay. It's all right. God's going to meet my need. I tithe. Wrong attitude. God's going to meet my need. I tithed was correct. But you know what? That's not why I tithed. And yet that confession makes it sound like that's why I tithed. Do you see what I'm talking about? The words are so important that we confess about God and His Word. You know, the truth is, the brakes went out. God's going to cover the need. I got to keep moving on. Well, then 3 days later, Barney comes to me and says, we need to pay the tags on our car. What? The tags on our car? Yeah. Wait, nope. Okay, great. Let's pay the tags on our car. Write the check. You know, and then I start confessing the Word. My God shall supply all my need. My God sent Jesus Christ so I could have an abundant life. I have the ability to have an abundant life. I changed my thought so I could change the reaction to the circumstance. Because when we start reacting with our emotions, we blow it. We are so easily deceived from God's Word. So it is so important what we confess over what we sow. Because God promises us, if we sow abundantly, what will happen? We will reap abundantly. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. So you got to be honest with yourself. How am I sowing? If you're thinking, God, why am I just living from paycheck to paycheck? Why is it that all the time it just seems to run out right at the end? Well, praise God, He meets your need. But that's not all God wants for you. We got to get our vision up sometimes in our own life. You know, there's a great book Jan has on giving that explains this stuff step by step a lot better than I can explain it right now in this moment of teaching. But so it's in the bookstore. It's another one you should read. It really can set some things straight in your mind about this. But you know what? If you need to rechannel your thinking, whether it's about your prosperity, whether it's about your walk with God, whether it's about your spiritual understanding, whether it's about your health or your relationships, this principle works in every one of those areas of our lives. If we will do it God's way, God will give us the things we need to have what we need to have in our lives. Make some scripture cards. Carry them with you. Catch yourself, you know, when you see this stuff happening. Stop yourself immediately. It's better to pull one weed at a time than to have to pull 17. It really is. And water what you sow with God's Word. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Here's a few things you can water with. You know, if a farmer planted a bunch of seed and said, okay, it planted, I'll come back in the fall or in the spring and harvest, would he find much when he got there? I don't think he'd find much at all. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Don't be wise in your thinking. Stick to God's system. The systems of the world do not work for believers. Go with God's ways. His ways are higher, His ways are better. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Why? Because God's greedy and wants everything? No, so that thy barns may be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In Malachi, God tells them, prove me. Come on. Prove me in your life. Don't rob me of the tithes and offerings. Prove me. I will take care of you. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings you'll not be able to receive. Can we learn from that? Of course we can. Look at Matthew 6:33. It's all throughout Old Testament, gospel period, our administration. It's here. The promises are here. And God just really, really, really wants us to understand that what we confess and what we line up with Him and His Word is what will come to pass. Matthew 6:33. You guys are familiar with this. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Now, that doesn't mean don't, you know, oh well, don't have to think about it. God's just going to drop a gold brick on my head. I don't think so. You have to take thought. But it's not the word thought here. It's the word anxious, anxiety. You don't get all upset about these things. For the morrow shall take thought for itself, the things thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what? The world is going to be the world. But God is always going to be God. And as we look to Him and we put our trust and confidence in Him, He will do what He says He will do for us. This is our walk. This is our life. You know, it doesn't work if you give and then you kind of complain. Or you get anxious. Or you get fearful. What does the word say about fear? It defeats the promises of God, right? So you got to be careful with what you say, what you let your mind think when you operate principles in God's word. Whether it's this one, or you're operating the principle of getting healed, or you're operating the principle of loving someone, or being compassionate. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is something that we can be so super good at. All of those things in a practical sense. And yes, this is a very practical teaching. Because you know what? That's why we know the word, right? So we can do the word. So we can reap the benefits of God. So we can give to others also. That's why we live, isn't it? To do the things of God. And the things of God are not hard. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to close here. Now, I know some of this information is very familiar to most of us in this room. But I really think the key to this thing is to understand what to do with our minds between the sowing and the reaping. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Everybody there? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, and that abundantly is that same word that's used in John 10, it's in quality and quantity, abundantly above. Above means higher than, okay? Above all that we ask according to the power that worketh in us. See, it is God in Christ in you and in me. That's the power that can work within us if we don't let it get clouded with weeds and fear and anxiety and doubt. Because when we do that, then we pretty much squash the power. It's still there, but God really needs us to trust him and believe his word to bring these things to pass. He does. That's the principle he laid down. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him, unto God, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Right? That is what God really wants for us in every aspect of our lives. And giving is just a huge principle in a believer's life, whether it's financial, whether it's physical giving. I was so blessed when you stood up and shared about how this young man has helped you and how thankful you were for that. That's giving. There will be reaping in that young man's life because he gave. If he really believes that God will do that, it will happen. It's like that. When you reach out with love and compassion and joy, you know what? You give. And the principle of giving lights up a person's life. 2 Corinthians tells us that God is very faithful with what he does. Not only there, but many other places in his word. So, you know, let's control our thinking. Let's operate these principles in our lives. And then let's steward that time between sowing and harvesting. Because you will harvest if you operate the principles. It is not my promise, it is his promise. And I have seen it work in my own life, and that's why I'm convinced that it works. Because I tried God, and God proved to me that he would work. And nobody's going to talk me out of that. But sometimes you get weary, and that's where you got to watch. You got to watch that time in between so you don't faint, so to speak. You don't fold. You got to know to keep holding. End of song. You know, usually you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. You got to know when to run. Now, not us. We have to hold on to what God has promised us, and we will see the victory in our lives. Okay? Okay, thank you. God bless. Gracie.